In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the 24th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. Thus far the text. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself when things don't go the way you want them to. That is, when things go wrong according to your understanding of right and wrong. It's easy to imagine yourself as the innocent one, wronged by another person, or just cursed by fate. When your bones are broken, your car is smashed up, when you look at your own bizarre, dysfunctional family, and then you look at someone else who seems to have everything going their way, it's easy to wonder, why me? Why don't things go my way, just once? You think, this just isn't fair. Or maybe the physician confirms your worst fear in the diagnosis. Or the unthinkable happens, and suddenly one of your parents, or a spouse, or a child is taken from you. It's when these hardships in life take place that reality sets in. It's then that the CDs, the DVDs, the iPods, the trips that you take, the sports that you watch, the books that you read, the politics that you obsess over, the alcohol that you drink, and the food that you stuff yourself with, all of these are finally revealed for what they are. Meaningless distractions, escape mechanisms that drive from your mind the hopelessness of your situation in this valley of sorrows called Earth. The reality is you yourselves are dying. And you will lose everything that you have acquired, inherited, or earned in this world. Everyone should be familiar with the biblical truth that the wages of sin is death. Yes, Adam and Eve sinned, and now you're all stuck in the mire of their disobedience. But don't try to pass the buck. You all would have done the same thing in the Garden of Eden. It's not that you're a sinner because you sin, as though if you could stop sinning, you wouldn't be a sinner anymore. Rather, you sin because you're a sinner. If you were shaken awake very quickly, with no time to really think, and then asked to describe yourself, would you not point to your good intentions? How you tried to be a decent person, and that for the most part, the sins that you did commit, you can explain away. The old man who resides in your sinful flesh prefers to take comfort in obedience. In essence, despising grace alone, clinging instead to the law. But the law is not a box to check or a general guideline to follow, as if getting close means that you're doing great. The law is all-encompassing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord your God is a jealous God. What God requires in the law is not some good faith attempt, not your best try. Listen to the words of the Holy Spirit. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all of it. So how is it that you can imagine that your comments about your neighbor and the ridiculing about your fellow Christians are somehow no big deal? Repent, which is to say, believe, not in your efforts at all, but believe on the works of Christ crucified for you. That is repentance and belief. And it is God created. What God's word says about you is true. You have held back your offerings and made up excuses for it, spending them instead on the amusements of escape. Your worship and prayers have faltered, and your love of others has failed. Why? Because you remain in sinful flesh, and it resists God filling you with His love completely. Going by the standards of the world, which lives by sight, you shouldn't be considered a Christian. But repent. That is, don't listen to the world, the devil, or even your own flesh. Don't go by sight. Believe on Christ and His works for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, must you do the Ten Commandments? Of course, because the commandments speak to the flesh. They aren't suggestions. They're commandments. To the Spirit, however, to the new man put in you by God, they are 10 character traits, revealing what He brings you to do. To the flesh, the commandments will bring you to conclude that the law can never be enough. You can never do enough. Be good enough. Be dynamic or emotional, even sorrowful enough. But this is why you have those moments of reality, and sometimes a lifetime of despair and anguish. This is why it comes, because of sin. And it drives you to the dirt. Only there, in the very midst of the dust and dirt out of which you were created, in the dust and dirt to which you will return, only there can you gain a proper perspective, recognizing who you are and who God is. Repent and believe the gospel. Again, so everyone knows, that's the same thing. For a believing life is a life of ongoing non-trust in the flesh, being brought to rest in the forgiveness of sins earned for you by Christ the crucified. In the dirt is where this woman is found in the gospel text for today. The words, a flow of blood, don't do justice in describing her wretched state. The Holy Spirit tells us through the Gospel of St. Mark that this woman had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather, she grew worse. She was ritually unclean and had to sneak up behind Jesus because she didn't think that there was any other way that she would be allowed to touch him. But what does she reveal in her sneaking up behind him in the lowly dirt? Except that he had made himself known in her life. She knew where he was, and in his coming, he made it possible for her to receive what he was there to give. As much as you want the question of why answered, the real question, which is answerable and always remains the same, the real question is where? Where is God in all of this suffering? And the answer is he's right here for you, just as he was right there for her. When this poor woman reaches up from the dust to touch the hem of his garment, she touches the obedient one for her, the one in whom the Father is well pleased, the one who does all things well, the only one who loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength for you, the only one who loved his neighbor, and that would be the world, as himself, for you. This poor woman grasps hold of an obedience to the law that she could never accomplish, an obedience that you will never accomplish yourself. In touching Jesus' garment, she touches the hem that is wrapped around God incarnate. God who has wrapped himself in man's poor flesh and bone. The living God who comes to die. The great physician who helps where no physician could. The very creator who has come to rescue his very creation. The great exchange takes place here. For even Christ remains centered on his own crucifixion. For as with all of his healings, what he heals, he takes into himself. For it's all a result of sin. It's the flow of blood that will come from his pierced side that stops the flow of her suffering. Your suffering, your being brought low, brings you to Christ. But before you begin to think that it's up to you to find him, it's he who makes you. Spirit beggars are made. They're not found. And you are renewed in your passion to beg by a continual experience of your own spiritual poverty. So God Almighty comes to you with healing, with forgiveness of sins in his wings. It is he who comes in lowly means of word, water, bread, and wine. And through those means, he is present among you. He is the coming one who gathers to himself his own, who know his voice and heed it. Our Lord commends this dirty woman's faith, but what is it that God created faith does? it receives. Faith is not the focus here, it's what faith is focused on. Faith makes you well because it's focused on Christ Jesus, who makes you well. It is His perfect life, death, and resurrection, His forgiveness, His righteousness, freely given to you. It's His good and perfect gifts, freely and passively received, which lift you up from the sin-drenched, sorrowful dirt, bringing you to be a new creation through Him. Amid the ever-changing, never-ending onslaughts of life in this valley of sorrows, God absolutely makes Himself known in your suffering. He makes Himself known. He makes it known where He is and how He has not changed toward you, how He has earned your forgiveness of sins. Through His words, with the water, bread, and wine, He makes it known that He is right here for you. Through the one who is the content of those means of grace, Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Being focused and trusting in Him alone, you are made well indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.